Amen. Do you believe his promises this morning? Do you believe his promises this morning? Your attitude determines your altitude. So, let's believe his promises this morning. Ruth was talking about victory in the house. Come on. Victory's in the house. Let's believe his promises this morning. I love that. It's a real honor. My name's Russ. It's a real honor to be sharing this morning, sharing what's on my heart. Thank you for having me. We love Wes and Janet. And Joe and I have been youth pastoring for over 5 years now here, which has been a real blessing. And hallelujah. And we have needed the strength. Hallelujah. Woo. But yeah, it's been an amazing journey. And hallelujah. All right. I just want to share some news I received yesterday. Can we pop that slide up? Really important. I look like the Coldplay singer. How good is that? Joe's shaking her head, sorry. But yeah, figured that out yesterday, so I just wanted to share that with you, my family. Sweet. Yeah. Got a new strut in my stride now. All right. Can't sing like him yet, but getting there. Hey, I grew up in Christchurch. Family of five. It's all right too. Family of five. Actually, I was the black sheep. To be honest, I was the black sheep in the family. In fact, all of my family, my mum, my dad, my older brother, and my younger sister used to sing Barbershop. Ken, you'd know all about that. Ken still sings Barbershop with my dad. And at family gatherings, they would be like, come on, just sing with us. And I'd be like, no way. I'm not singing Barbershop. That's so not me. And I just felt like the black sheep in my family my whole childhood. But that's okay. We went to church when I was a child, and until I was the age of about 12 or 13. And the whole family actually left the church we were going to within Christchurch. We all left, went home, and I was like, sweet, I didn't like going to church anyway. I thought it was boring when I was a kid. Children's church, I thought that was cool, but I just thought, oh, sweet. My whole family left the church. But God. And so God, when I was 16, I went back to church following a girl where I met this girl. And God hooked me, man, back into the church. And this time, he really hooked me. I was so blown away that the creator of heaven and earth would care about me. That the creator of heaven and earth would love me. Would show me his love and would speak to me. And I was 16. So this is 20 years ago. In the year 2000, I went to Easter camp and gave my heart to the Lord when I was 16. And I've never looked back. So that's a wee bit of my testimony. Joe and I have been youth pastoring and going to Easter camp. How many times have we been to Easter camp? Too many, she said. And so, it's we just feel so much that it's a part of our heritage. We want to sow back into the soil, because it's impacted both of us so much. The Lord has impacted us in our teenage years so much, and it's been a pleasure to be a part of God impacting the youth of this generation. And actually, that's what I want to share a little bit about today. I've always been intrigued by truth. Even through my salvation, the truth of who God was, I've just been intrigued by it. I trained in science at high school. I trained in science at uni, and I'm a science teacher now. I mean, of course, I'm intrigued by truth. Yeah, come on. Woo! It's a part of me. I love when I'm trying to understand how the world works, why the world works like that. It's also impacted, of course, my faith. I love apologetics, Christian apologetics, which is basically explaining how faith, the big questions of faith. I love Ben Shapiro. If you're interested, check out Ben Shapiro. He's an amazing apologist. He's not a Christian, but he's a Jew, but he still answers the amazing questions of most of our faith. Also, Rabbi Zacharias. I'm a big fan of amazing apologists. And I believe that we should be living according to 1 Chronicles 12:32. There was a group of people who are only mentioned in one verse, but they're the sons of Issachar. This is in the King David times. The sons of Issachar who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. They understood the times and they knew what Israel should do. Only 200 chiefs with all their relatives under their command. That's it. That's all we hear about the sons of Issachar. But I try to live my life, and I believe we should live our lives understanding the times and understanding what we, the church, should do. So that's, I want to be living like the sons of Issachar. And so today I'm going to be sharing about our culture that we live in today. I think I do have a slightly unique view. Of course, we've done youth work for not just 5 years, for many, many years. I'm a high school teacher as well for a few years. And Joe's a tutor at Vision College as well. So we do have a slightly unique perspective. I want to share about our culture today. So can we please put the next slide up? And I want to talk about our questioning culture. So next slide, please, Christine. Thanks. So three aspects I want to highlight about today's culture. The first one is a high access and low authority. So what does that mean? That's talking about, of course, our access to the internet. We have a massive high access to the world, to information. We have huge access. We have a super computer in everyone's pocket now. Okay, this is quite different, as you're aware, from the last 20 years, 100 years, thousands of years. The youth of today, actually everyone of today, but more specifically the youth because they're digital natives, have high access. They understand this, they know this. But also they have low authority. And what does that mean? That's talking about how the youth of today don't quite have the same respect for institutions, for authority than previous generations once have. Okay, and I see that in my children's lives. I see that in the youth at school, at youth group. It's a shift in our culture that we've seen. High access, low authority. We're actually, you also see it in a more pronounced way in some of our amazing Islander youth that we have. Okay, not just in our youth, but Islander, New Zealand born Islanders. Of course, they have the high access aspect, but the authority difference between their parents and them is so, so different. And so they have this challenge between two different cultures, between their parents and them, that they have to navigate. And so that is a more pronounced version of the high access, low authority that we deal with in today's culture. Second one is a demand for authority. Sorry, authenticity. I am a teacher, but I cannot read sometimes. So this may sound contradictory, but even though our wonderful young people, youth and young adults, are the Instagram generation, they take heaps of selfies and they Photoshop them sometimes and they put them up and it's kind of a fake version of themselves. I know there's that strange dichotomy, but apart from that, our young people and, of course, generations before them, but especially our young people, really do have a massive demand for authenticity. They want people to do what they say they're going to do. You actually also see it in the demand, the consumer demand for ethical businesses now. So people are really moving with their feet and with their wallets away from companies that aren't doing business ethically and towards companies that are. The youth of today really do demand authenticity. And last one, the increase of trust in science. Hey, I'm a science teacher. That's kind of cool from my perspective. But it does bring its issues. And so science, there's been rapid change in our society, of course, due to science in the last decades, but especially the last 10 years. Hey, just have a look around. Look around at what we've got here. The amazing lights, they're all new because of science. Our phones, our predictors. Think about how we access the world. So different. Science has infiltrated everyone's lives. And so the youth who have been brought up into this have much higher trust for science than previous generations as well. So, in a nutshell, a few changes for today's culture. Now, can we relate this back to faith? Let's do it. First one, high access, low authority. So if you have a whole lot of information now, think about in the dark ages when you couldn't even access the Bible. Now we can access the Bible plus all the controversies that people put online about faith. And you also have this low authority aspect to our culture as well. People are much more readily asking questions. Hang on, why is this like this? I don't understand this. What's going on here? So in the past, you think about, you can probably picture some denominations in the past who have been like, don't touch the pastor, don't ask the pastor any questions, don't ask the establishment any questions, you just believe what we tell you, right? Now, it ain't going to work. So we have to be moving, progressing with the times. Of course, we still have this as our lens through interpreting the world, but we've got to be progressing. We've got to be providing opportunities for our young people and older people to be asking questions because they have this high access, low authority part of their culture. Second one, a demand for authenticity. In the past, some churches have been labeled as hypocritical. It ain't going to fly anymore. The youth of today demand authenticity. We must be not just hearers of the word, but doers as well. It's really important. Authenticity is a high value in our young people of today. And last one, an increase of trust in science. So, I mean, there's been a perceived battle between science and faith for centuries, right? I believe God created science. I believe God put that desire in our hearts to be able to find out about our world, to be able to understand our resources, to be able to use our resources ethically. And God put that there. God made science. So actually people, when they find out I'm a Christian and science teacher, they're like, hang on, how does that work, man? That doesn't make sense. I say, actually, it does make sense. And it actually connects to the second point as well, right? Living an authentic life, not having your faith and your science completely separate. No, they can completely merge together. And so an increase of trust in science, I believe. Oh, one other point, actually. God placed our solar system, right, the planets and the sun, in the perfect place in the Milky Way. Not too close to the center where there's black holes that will suck us in and kill us all. We're not in the arms of the Milky Way galaxy. You know how it's a spiral, right? We're not in the spiral arms. We're just in between the spiral arms where there's not too much light from surrounding stars, but it's dark enough for us to be able to observe the rest of the universe, right? The other billions of galaxies. We couldn't see them if we were in the spiral arms. We'd be dead if we were near a black hole. Perfectly positioned. God made science. Hallelujah. That's good. So, could we pop to the next slide, please? So I believe, I'm proposing for us to really adopt a questioning culture. I think that will enable us to serve the youth and the young people of our generation within our faith establishment. If we have a questioning culture, then when faith is being tested through doubts, through changes, through suffering, okay, as happens to everyone, when our faith is being tested, they will know, ah, actually, I live in a questioning culture. Living Waters is a place where I can explore the issues of faith safely. And it aligns with those three aspects of the culture we live in today. Because actually, this is some research I've found. So it's not actually the seeds of doubt that cause people to lose faith. It's not the seeds of doubt. It's not being in an environment where you can explore those seeds of doubt. Isn't that profound? Everyone has seeds of doubt. Of course, we have seeds of doubt flying into our minds all the time. That's not what causes people to lose faith. It's being in an environment where we can't explore those seeds of doubt. So I want to propose a question in culture is where we need to be heading even more. I love it how when Wes, he just phrases things so well, and he says, and I wish I could speak like him, speak good England like he can speak. But he says, hey, we're all learning too. That is gold. And that just gives me the okay, the acceptance. Oh, it's okay, I can learn too. Even Wes is learning. Man, that's that. That's a question in culture. I love that. Very cool. Hey, so Matthew 13, you probably know it. The parable of the sower. So there's the four types of, the four places where the seed lands, and the seed is actually representing the word of God, the truth. And so I want to just focus in on one of the places where the seed lands. It's Matthew 13:20. So the one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man or woman who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. Sweet. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. So just wanted to, it's always good to put some scripture in a message. Just wanted to back up the when faith is being tested aspect. So when that is that one there, of the four places where the seed lands, that particular scenario is talking about your faith is being tested. Okay, doubt, change or suffering. Because that comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. Yes, we do have an issue with young people falling away from church. It's not quite an epidemic level, but it is an issue. And so we don't want that situation to be occurring. And so we want to do all we can to prevent it. And so that's what I'm proposing today. All right. So, oh, one more thing. Can we go to the next slide, please? So is faith like a brick wall? Is your faith like a brick wall? So if you took one of those bricks out, what would happen to the wall? Like, take that brick out there. The wall probably will be compromised or could crumble. So we don't want our faith to be like a brick wall. If it was like a brick wall, you couldn't actually take a brick out and analyze the brick. How's that brick looking? Oh, I'm not sure about one aspect of this brick. You can't do that with a brick wall. You just look at it from a distance and say, yeah, that's strong. I'm not going to ask any questions. It's strong. But can we go to the next slide? Or is your faith more like a trampoline? So this is how I try to live my faith. So you can just get one of the springs and take one of the springs off, analyze that spring. Oh, yeah, it's pretty stretchy. It fits well. Why is that part like that? Is the trampoline still usable? Without one spring here, don't take half the springs off. It won't work. But you can take one or two springs off at a time and analyze your faith. Ask questions in the questioning culture. That's a good thing, I believe. And so I think our faith, we should have a faith model like a trampoline. Hey, analyze your faith. Check out why is this happening? Ask someone who's wise. Why is this happening in my life? This is a big question. This is one of the two questions I get asked as often. Why do bad things happen to good people? Okay, so Faith, I believe, should be like a trampoline. Hey, and so, finishing today, I'd like to do a little bit of teaching on, could we go to the next slide, please? On creation versus evolution. And because I think it's a good opportunity to talk about those three aspects of culture all in one example of teaching. I love talking about this, so that's why as well. So I believe this caters to the three aspects of today's culture. Awesome. Let's have a look. So, evolution. This is amoeba to man evolution. On the left, on the right, creation. So creation, in the Bible, it teaches that we're all created in according to kinds. Okay, you can see there's different kinds of dogs, different kinds of people created in kinds. There's not a whole lot of massive changes that have occurred since creation, as you can see. Compared to evolution, which proposes massive changes, that's called species to species evolution. Some people within the church believe that in theistic evolution, that believes that God created the amoeba and let it evolve. Or atheists believe this, that the amoeba was somehow created, made in a primordial soup, which is actually ridiculous. But so I'm not here to say, hey, if you believe in theistic evolution, that's completely wrong. I'm just here to present the potential challenges in believing in evolution today. Cool. So, actually, as a Christian, and as an evangelist as well. All right, next slide, please. So there's only two worldviews. And so either everything is the result of a cosmic accident, or we are the result of a deliberate design by a designer. So if you're an atheist, that's the top one, is yours. If you're a Christian, the bottom one is yours. If you're an agnostic, so you're not really sure what you believe, you could pick one of them. When I'm talking to Muslims, then of course they're the bottom one as well. So we have some similarities to start with, but then it diversifies pretty quickly. Can we go to the next slide? So creation, the creation model, so God created the universe and everything in it in 6 days. Sin was the cause of death due to man's rebellion from God when Adam and Eve ate the apple that God said not to eat. Then God partially destroyed the world by a worldwide flood. Why is it in there? Well, because it helps to explain a whole lot of different natural effects that we observe in our world. And then, of course, man was created in the image of God. God created all things. That's the creation model. This is the one that I personally subscribe to. Can we go to the next slide, please? And then evolution. 15 billion years ago, the universe exploded into existence. 4.6 billion years ago, the earth evolved. 3.5 billion years ago, life evolved. Humans evolved from ape-like creatures. So time, chance, natural processes. Oh my gosh, when people put a billion years next to something and then say, this happened in the billion years, people are like, oh yeah, I can suppose I can see that happening. If you just add a massive time scale, everything seems possible. Like, it's not possible. You're adding a massive time scale. Actually, I was thinking about this the other day. It makes it more difficult. All the mutations that happen, according to science, 99% of them are negative. What happens over a billion years? You're not going to have something better. Well, it's going to be way worse. 99% are negative mutations. No one's going to be alive after 100,000 years. Anyway, sorry. I'll move on. Can we go to the next slide? Yeah, cool. And so the Bible teaches that God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female. Or pick your relative. So evolution begins with the assumption that man has evolved from ape-like creatures. So, yeah. Top left. Kenny, you like that bow? Of course, there is evidence for evolution, right? People wouldn't, like, there is evidence for it. There's also evidence for creationism. I think the evidence is better that supports creationism. I'm not talking about with a faith worldview, I'm just saying evidence. I think the evidence fits creationism better. Add faith into the mix and it's a no-brainer. Creationism is the clear winner in my eyes. Could we go to the next slide, please? Oh, yes. So you need to be prepared when you're debating the atheist on the street. But actually, I want to point our attention to the mousetrap. So there's five parts to a mousetrap. You might know. It has a platform. It has the bar. It has the spring. That's three. It has the latch. And it has the trigger platform. The trigger. Five parts. It needs all those five parts to work. If you take one part away, it doesn't work. Imagine a mousetrap without the platform. You can't hook anything onto anything. It just doesn't work. So you have four-fifths of a mousetrap. You don't catch four-fifths the amount of mice with four-fifths of the mousetrap. You catch zero-fifths of the amount of mice. Right? It doesn't work. It can't work. This concept's called irreducible complexity. And so you can't reduce the complexity if you take one of the components away. It just doesn't work. So can we go to the next slide, please? Oh, man, check that out. So Darwin himself said that it is absurd to think that evolution via natural selection could create an eye. And the eye is amazing. Could we just pause for a second and agree on that? It has its own built-in window wipers. It has its own built-in window washers. I can't show you that one, but tears. The eye has this clear portion over front called the cornea. It's not skin. If it was skin, you couldn't see through it. It's a clear. Then the light comes in through the hole in the middle. Hits a lens. It's like the lens of your camera, but it's alive. And the light is focused onto the back of the eye through a medium called vitreous humor in the middle of the eye. And it's focused perfectly on the back in most people. Before the fall, it was perfect for everyone. Onto the back of the eye and is received by rods or cones. Rods for black and white, cones for color. And then there's thousands of chemical reactions that happen to transfer the photons to electrical signal. Whoa, that's cool in itself. It goes through the optical nerve to the brain, which converts it again to an image that we can see. Come on. Yes, God, that's awesome design. I love it. So take one component out. All right, let's just take the cornea out. Don't need that. And we'll put skin there instead. No light's coming in. Take the rods and cones out. No light's being received. Take the optic. It's irreducibly complex. Evolution, try to explain this, but you look at it and they can't. It doesn't make sense. It is nonsensical. The eye is amazing. God created it. If you look out there, we've got amazing, beautiful plants. We've got amazing animals and creatures. This one aspect, for me, blows me away. Animals breathe in oxygen. They breathe out carbon dioxide. Plants breathe in carbon dioxide. They breathe out oxygen. Wow, even that tiny aspect of creation is perfect. Just that one aspect. How does that happen? By natural processes, by chance. And then you add a million plus times complexity to that and come up with the life we have today. God, we glorify you. That is amazing. All right, we're getting there. Oh, yeah. So an issue with science. Science is amazing. I love science. But there's an issue with it. It's done by men and women. And so here's one. So in 1922, there was fossil evidence of Nebraska man. So it was used to support evolution as an intermediate link. So like half ape, half man thing. But actually what it was, they found out a few years later, one wasn't like a whole skeleton they found. The guy found one extinct pig's tooth. Now, that's an issue. And so this is just one example of a number of times where, of course, science has made mistakes. And science makes mistakes, and that's okay. We can fix those mistakes. But we have quite a trust in science in today's culture. And so I think just being aware that science does continue to make mistakes, and that's okay. But you don't hinge evolution on facts like this. All right, next slide, please. Cool, so just a couple of effects and then we'll finish up. So one of the main reasons youth, young adults leave the church is that they cannot defend a belief in the Bible. So what can be done? So be ready to give an answer to every man that asks you for a reason of the hope that is in you. Not just for science and questioning, but for the hope that is in you. Hallelujah. And next slide, please. So if, what do we must understand what we believe. We must understand why we are Christians. And you kind of need to be able to articulate this belief. I speak to some people on the streets every now and again. I love it. It's so much fun. And so when you speak to Christians, and they say, oh, I'm a Christian. And I say, oh, that's awesome. And then really respectfully, you say, can I just ask you one quick question just to check we're on the same page? What is the reason that God will let you into heaven? Whoa. You'd be surprised at how many people, Christians, don't know the answer. Really surprised. And then we have to go through the whole gospel with them anyway. So, and I know in this house we wouldn't get, you know, a whole lot of confused responses, but we need to be able to articulate this, especially the basics of the gospel, really reasonably and biblically. Okay, and next slide, please. And the last one. So one of the major reasons atheists and agnostics do not consider Christianity is because of evolution and science. My friend a few years ago now was agnostic, and he had a big barrier between him and the gospel, and the barrier was geological time frames in evolution. It was science. He couldn't get to the gospel because that was in the way. I had probably a 10-minute conversation with him, and I didn't use eloquent words. I was just like, hey, man, there's reputable scientists that believe in, you know, creation, and that believe in this time period that I'm telling you about. And a few other things I shared with him. And he's like, oh, okay, sweet. And he accepted the gospel. What? And that reason there is why I love apologetics. If you can smash the wall that some people put up called science in between them and the gospel, you do it. And use some of the ideas we've talked about today to do it, if you like. Smash that wall so that people can accept the gospel. Cool. Hey, next slide, please. So let's be a church. We already are, but let's continue to be a church that can analyze our faith and have a questioning culture for the benefit to cater for our amazing young people, our youth and our young adults coming through. Yeah, and next slide, please. But actually, while that stuff's really cool, I probably get more excited about this. When you're speaking with someone about the gospel, yes, you have to smash those intellectual ideas, get rid of them, provide other options, and that will diffuse the situation, usually. Then, quickly, move to the heart. And as everyone's asking these questions, who am I? Where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going when I die? Next slide, please. Who am I? Where did I come from? I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knows very well. God created you. Who am I? You are God's son and daughter. Where did you come from? Who am I? Hey, this is it. Man, now that. Hey, it's cool talking about science and culture, but that there wrecks people. That there is what people need to hear. Next slide, please. Why am I here? God's got a plan and a purpose for your life. You are not just some monkey that's evolved. God has got a plan and a purpose for your life. He loves you. He's got a perfect plan that only you can fulfill well. God has got assignments for you. Like a special agent that he wants you to fulfill. Connect with him. He created you. He loves you. And he's got something for you to do. And last slide, please. Where am I going when I die? It's the last question that everyone asks. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That demands a response. So when you share the gospel with people, they must respond. It's either, oh, yes, I believe this. And if you believe it, what are you going to do about it? Or it's, nah. I don't believe it, or I love my sin too much. This demands a response. If this is true, it revolutionized your world. This is what I say to people. Check it out. And if there's someone here right now, God loves you. God made you. He's got a plan and purpose for your life. He wants to connect with you now and in eternity. Can I ask you, if you want to know more about this God, to stand now. Awesome. Come on, can we put our hands together for this man? Who else? Who else? I'm not sugarcoating it. It doesn't need sugarcoating. I'm just sowing the seed. Because the Holy Spirit will be speaking to your heart right now. So who else? This demands a response. You're either saying yes or no. So if you are like, I want to say yes, then stand up. Can we get a couple of people to gather around this gentleman? PJ. Because, sir, this is a good day for you. You've already shared amazing things that I believe God's done in your life with us today. That's awesome, man. God wants to do much, much more. He cares about you, and you've got a calling on you. You've got an amazing calling on you. I can feel it. And I want to talk to you later, sir. All right. Hallelujah. Hey, can we all stand? I'm going to pray to finish. God, we thank you for who you are and for what you've done. God, we thank you for the amazing design you've placed on our planet. God, we thank you for dragging us from hell and setting us in heavenly places. God, we thank you that you love us so much. The creator of heaven and earth loves us so much that you sent your son so that we can come to know you. God, we pray that this house will have more of a questioning culture so that we can cater for our young people and our young adults even more. God, we bless this suburb. We bless Hallsville. We bless Christchurch. We bless our nation today. Jesus, as we go out, may we be the light of the world to this nation. In Jesus' name. Can we give the Lord a massive shout as we finish? Hallelujah! We bless your name today, God. Hallelujah.